Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. Been a crazy week for our United States, hasn't it? And sure, a lot of people are, you know, have all their different opinions of what took place. But the main thing is that even in all that horror and terror and all that, you know, absolute evil that happened in Las Vegas, we can still bless the Lord. We can still give Him praise because He's working in everyone's life who opens up their heart in those situations. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that You would allow us, God, to be grateful. Be grateful, Lord, for the freedoms we have. Be grateful, Lord, for the ability, Lord, we have to worship You freely in this country. Lord, we thank You, God, that You're working in our lives, Lord, just as You're working, Lord, in all those lives, Lord, ones that have lost loved ones, Lord, those who are in traumatic shock, Lord, from the experience. Lord, we just pray Your hand of love over Las Vegas right now. Lord, that Your protection, Lord, would come to those, Lord, who are being tormented by the enemy from thoughts that continue to remain. Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord, that we're Yours. We just want to worship You in spirit and in truth this morning. In Jesus' name.
Years and then forever more. into the darkness we shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is dealer. Awesome.
Earthquakes. Yes, we've had earthquakes. We've had all of that. And the temptation is to let the voice of the enemy be louder than the voice of Jesus. And what we forget is the Bible says that Jesus is both the lion and the lamb.
Yeah.
And the enemy of our soul, the Bible tells us that he roams about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he might have the roar, but he didn't have the teeth. He just doesn't have it. And it was very clear to me this week that we are to be lions or lionesses when we need to be, and we need to be lambs when we need to be, to reach this world. And my teeth were out this week because I was angry at the enemy, not at God, at the enemy. And I thought, you might have won this one, but there are people that the Spirit of God is going to touch that we don't even know, and we may not know until we get to heaven.
Yeah.
The people we prayed for.
Thank you.
And so this is not a time for us to run and hide. This is a time for us to be that lion when we need to be, and to be that lamb when we need to be. And I feel it in my soul this week that He's not going to outshout me. He's not going to roar louder than my Savior. I'm going to see to it. And so I just wanted to put that out there this morning. And there's no need for fear today. There's no need for fear in our hearts, even though it seems like the whole world is upside down and backwards. There's no reason to fear this morning, because we know what the back of the book says. We win. It does not matter whether we stay on this earth or we go home to be with Jesus. We win. That's the way it is. And we got to walk like we win. We've got to walk like, you know what? Yeah, you pulled off a whammy. But you know what? Jesus pulled off the big whammy when he died on the cross and bore our sins. So
amen.
We win. That's
amen.
It. Okay.
Amen.
Your hidden glory in creation.
So we're talking about lions and lionesses. And so this week, the Heavenly Father, you know, I drive a lot by myself. A lot of us know that. And sometimes I feel like a wet little kitten, you know, in my job. And the Lord recalled to me when my husband and I started coming back to church. It was after he'd joined the military right after 9/11. And our daughter, my husband was being called back to God while he was in basic training. And the Lord was working on us here at home. And my husband came home and my daughter's, and he had made Valerie a promise to come back to church. And so we started. We started coming here and we started serving. And then the weekends started happening. And a couple months before Encounters came, and the Lord has always let me know when something's coming in my dreams. When I was a runaway, he would let me know that I was, that this was coming, because I would be running from something and could never get to the finish line and could never see what I was running from. And right before I got caught, I would always dream about the hand coming and grabbing me before I got anywhere. So it'd been a while since I dreamed like that. And then one night, I was in a house, just a regular house, with my family and people around me. And then all of a sudden, the lions come. They're roaring, and they come, and we barricade the doors, but they still come in, and they tear up everything around me. And as I go up another floor that suddenly pops up in this house, God knows what happens in a dream, I go up to the next floor, and I barricade the doors, and the lions still come. And I go up another floor, like to the attic of the house. And in the meantime, everything that was around me at the time disappears, and I wind up more alone and more alone. And I've got this thing in my arms that I'm dragging, and I don't know what it is. It's just this faceless, shapeless thing that's in my arms that's holding me back from running as fast as I can. And when I get to the top, and the lion, which I now know is God, is standing there, and he's not roaring at me. He's roaring at what I'm hanging on to. And then we had Encounter, and it became evident that what I had been hanging on to was all my bitterness, all my anger, all my hurt, because it was mine. Mine to play with, mine to hang on to, mine to give or hold on to from God. And all the time that the lions were destroying, they were not destroying my family. They were destroying things that were keeping me back from my relationship with God. He was taking away everything that kept my focus off of him when I needed to be focused on him. Yeah. When he wanted to heal me, when he wanted to help me, and he wouldn't come and he didn't snatch that thing from me like he rightly should have. He was waiting for me to give it to him so he could destroy it. Because it wasn't in my power to destroy it. And so if you have these things that you're dealing with in your heart and in your life, and we all go through this. I've been a Christian a long time. You know, sometimes stuff still comes up. You know, give it to him. Don't make him chase you for it. He's been chasing you long enough. Give it to him.
Oceans deep, my faith will soar.
Maybe we need some reassurance in our soul. We need to strengthen those foundations underneath us. And I'm going to do my best to croak out just a chorus of an old hymn. Because, number one, I don't want to forget those old hymns.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, this hymn in particular, it's our declaration to Jesus. And so if you will assail your ears for just a couple of minutes and just close your eyes with me. I know this may be uncomfortable and this may not be your thing, but I'm asking you to do something maybe a little out of your comfort zone today. I'm asking you to close your eyes, and I'm asking you to think about, if you want to join in, for the love of God, please join in. But I just want to sing it because we need it this morning. I surrender all. How many of you know that?
Mm-hmm.
A few.
You know the chorus.
You know the chorus. Those two.
You lead out. Start.
Here we go. Everybody, just close your eyes just for a minute. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Come on.
I surrender.
Yes, Lord, we surrender again. About that. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing, Lisa and Vicky. That was really inspiring. I never heard that testimony, Vicky. That's powerful. No, never heard that.
Well, I'll tell you that I woke up from that crying and scared in the corner of my bed.
Yeah, I bet.
And then
got the mic. Okay. Can you hear okay? Good. Okay. I think Jesse's got me up too. Thank you, Jess.
So on October 21st, and if you didn't get one of these, come see me. I'll give you one after church. We are having our BBB, which is Brunch, Bible Study, and Blessings, over at my house next door. And we'll start at 11 and go to 12:30-ish, give or take. I hope you guys can join me, ladies. It's not the men. It's just the girls. Sorry. And then the girls, you go home and tell them how much fun you had, and then my husband will hear about it.
You guys can say, oh, you're back already.
Yeah, right. Anyway,
whoops.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe you guys can take care of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's next door at my house, and so if you guys can make it, that would be just so lovely. Open to all ladies, like 13 and above.
And October 28th. Here at, is it 3? Is it, what time is
one.
It?
1 to 5.
1 to 5. 1 to 5 or 1 to 6? 1 to 5. Okay.
Ish.
5-ish. Okay. And that's going to be a youth, and it's called Stand Out, right? Yeah. Youth and family?
Well, yeah. Just because
we're going to include family? Oh, wow. That's nice. Okay. So we can actually come then.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I've. We're just right there, so I mean, we're kind of here already, so.
So anyway, any youth that you guys know of that
youth,
wants to
yes.
come and bring
yeah.
bring Mama and Daddy, if they can have some. Well, we're going to do, is it taco in a sack or is it chili in a bag? Is it chili? Are you doing chili? Chili.
Chili, yeah.
Okay. And it's fun to eat and it's.
With cheese and onions. And
oh, cornbread.
You are doing cornbread?
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't want it to eat it out of a bag, you can eat it out of a bowl with cornbread.
Yeah. Sounds good. What's that? Oh, banjo. So here, you want to use this? Or you got yours?
I'm getting it up right
okay.
now.
So we're in John, the book of John. We've gone from John chapter 1:1 to we're in John 3 today. We are going to be hanging on one verse today. I thought it was going to be four verses, and as I was breaking this verse down, I said, okay, this is just going to have to be, this is just going to have to be one verse. And so, but that's happened a few times. I didn't think this, I almost just tagged this verse on last week's and was just going to quickly read it. So I'm glad the Lord had me stop that because I think it's going to be enlightening and also expanding your heart in the way that God's working your life. So let's go ahead and read from John 3, 1, 2, and I'll have Gay read because she
and
reads.
Go all the way to 13?
Go all the way to 13.
Okay.
Yep.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now that kind of cut it off. I'm sorry. Hold on just a second. Wow. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and don't know these things? I'm sure Jesus was just shocked. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And 13 is, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven.
Now notice that all of, pretty much except for the little bit of black, is red letter. That means Jesus was speaking this. And this is still, again, all through John 3 is the communication of Jesus with Nicodemus. So Jesus is basically communicating to Nicodemus where he gets his information. Mm-hmm. He's communicating where he is, where his connection is, where he is experiencing everything that he's bringing into knowledge here. So when I started working on this verse, I realized that what we were talking about here that Jesus was experiencing was something called dual occupancy. Now, this is a real estate term, and it means to have two dwelling places or two dwellings on one lot of land and that are attached to each other. They don't have to be attached, though, I guess. But anyway, the idea is that there's two places where individuals can live on one single lot, mm-hmm. sometimes called a duplex. Here's hopefully a picture that maybe give you an idea. You probably have seen those. Maybe you've stayed in one. It's on one lot of land, and it has two places where people can live. Mm-hmm. Now, my term for dual occupancy, though, is it means we have one dwelling on two lots of land. And I'm going to explain, because now you're going like, what does that mean? Us, each individual person, is the dwelling. Earth, or our natural life, is being the first lot of land, and heaven, or our supernatural life, being the second lot of land. But we have dual occupancy at the same time. That's and this so is cool. This is a revelation that, you know, we talk about. I kind of bring in little pieces here and there. But you're not limited to your location that you're in right now on 34th and Tiatin in Yakima, Washington. I mean, yes, if you were to have a GPS, it would say this is where you are. But we will learn today that we're not just here, that the something supernatural is taking place where we have another occupancy or another dwelling in another location mm-hmm. at the same time, though. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried to, like, be in two places at the same time? When your schedule shows, okay, I've got to be here and here. Well, what do you end up doing? You end up splitting between the two, right? Mm-hmm. Especially at Christmas time, if you have family of one spouse and family another spouse, it's like, okay, well, Christmas Day is being parsed out. And especially if there's kids and grandkids. And so that's, you know, that's kind of what ends up happening when we need to be multiple places at the same time. But in God, that doesn't happen. So looking at John 3:13, Jesus is saying, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now, first of all, someone may read this and say, oh, well, no one's ever gone to heaven. Well, that's not true. We know that Enoch went to heaven. We know that Elijah went to heaven. Those are ones that never even died here on earth. We know that the people that have passed previous to Jesus' resurrection, that they were preached to and they were led captive up into heaven. So Jesus isn't necessarily talking about no one literally going to heaven, but what he's talking about is no one's had this ascension connection with heaven that he has. And then he says to Nicodemus, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now Nicodemus is sitting somewhere in Israel with Nicodemus at the time, probably around a fire with Jesus. Nicodemus sitting with Jesus around the fire, and Nicodemus hears Jesus say, oh, and I'm in heaven. Do you see that? Who is in heaven? Do you guys read that? The Jonathan Mitchell New Testament says it this way: the Son of Mankind, the one continuously being within the midst of heaven. Wow. So Jesus wasn't just saying, listen, I get my download from heaven, you know, in the morning when I get up and pray. Jesus was saying, literally, I'm here in heaven right now while I'm talking to you here, Nicodemus. Now, how many of you, that hurts your brain?
Yeah.
Hurts your brain, your natural reasoning. Remember a couple weeks ago I talked about that natural reasoning, that natural understanding will be like a hiccup or be like a short circuit. You have something, Cameron? Hang on a second. A short circuit when you have this idea that someone can be in one place and another. Now, science has proved that there's a thing called quantum entanglement. I don't necessarily want to get into all of it, but it basically proves that atoms can basically be billions of light years apart, and yet one could move and another one could move at the same time. They're somehow entangled, which kind of, I know, it's very science-y, it's very tech-y, it's very... But the thing is science is proving, almost, in some ways, what it means to be in two places at one time. Cameron. The what?
The science thing makes sense. I was going to say, though, it's something, I was just talking yesterday about this, it's something that's not really rational to us because we have finite minds. But if we go back to John 1:1, we remember that him and the Father are one. He was the Word in the beginning. He was with God, and he was God. So if you remember that the Trinity are one,
mm-hmm.
then it's not...
It kind of helps, doesn't it? Right. And that helps our finite brain, because it's hard for us to wrap around, well, wait a minute, Jesus was here or sitting around a fire, but somehow he was also still fully up in heaven. You know, he's the firstborn among many brethren, so let's see what this could potentially mean for us. Because Jesus wants us to be like him, and the Father wants us to be like Jesus. You guys know that, right? So look at John 1:18. We've already gone through this a little while ago, but no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is John the apostle writing this in his basically gospel mm-hmm. to mankind, that Jesus, while he was here on the earth, was in the bosom of the Father. And what does that mean? Jonathan Mitchell, New Testament, says the one continuously existing. So notice, even though he was here, he was still continually existing and moving, directed and leading into the Father's place of safety and intimacy. He was in constant connection still. Now, I've taught before, you know, even when Jesus was on the cross, that, you know, it says that you know, we through interpretation have said God turned his back on Jesus. But it actually says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so I no longer... my phone's going off. Sorry, something's going off. Oh, reminder. Okay, sorry. That would have gone on for a while. It would have bugged me. But God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And it wasn't just when he was on the earth. It was the full process. We have to realize that God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, all somehow carried also the weight of sin upon him. I know it makes no sense to us, but God is not fragmented into pieces. How many of you are married? If your spouse hurts, how do you feel?
Pained.
Like when you lost Aunt Vera, it was hard for me. I mean, we're still going through another grieving process, you know. And sure, it's not exactly as you feel, but you not feeling right affects my heart. Now, if we're earthly and you know, and finite, as she was saying, and we feel that way, how much more God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, who have always been one, always connected.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because this last week, because it's very weird how we think, but we think alike. Like he'll be thinking something and I'll be talking about it out loud. And he's like, I just thought about that. And it's crazy how that works. But then I was at work. Like this was when we were side by side in the car or whatever, but I was at work and he was at home and he was texting me and I was texting him about the same thing. And he goes, wow, it works with distance. Like, you know, like
no but distance it's just, in the spirit.
It is. But you know what I'm saying? Like that's, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a connection, you know, and we talked about, you know, the connection that Sweet Pea had with Aunt Vera last week. Yeah. We don't want to get into that again, but if you want to hear a pretty amazing testimony, I encourage you to listen to last week's message.
Or come see me after church.
Or come see Gay. She'll lay it out. Ephesians 2, 4, and 6. Now, this is going to be switching the process from Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit and Christ being in heaven to listen to what it says about us. Ephesians 2, 4, and 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So looking at 5 again, it says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Together with Christ. That word, together with Christ, is one Greek word. It takes three English words to make up that one. And it literally means to be with another, basically, at the same time.
To be with another at the same time.
Yeah. Made us alive together in union with Christ. Let's go on. 6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, not outside of ourselves or outside of Christ in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus, we are sitting in heavenly places. We have dual occupancy. Even though we're here right now, all of us, if we could connect with what's going on in the other, in the spirit, we have an occupancy in heaven. You have an occupancy in heaven. If you've asked Christ into your heart, you've given him your life, you've trusted him as your Savior, you're following him, you're committed your ways to him, you're not just here.
But it says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made alive together with Christ. That means that even when we were still sinners, we were alive in Christ.
Yeah, now you're getting into really deep territory. I know the word
all
is really.
All I'm saying, though, is that over the last few weeks, what we have said is, even when we were not walking the right walk, even when we were sinning and we knew that the Lord, you know, we had pushed him far away, God still has that in us that we are his, and he still draws us, he still calls us, he still wants us. He longs for us. When he doesn't have us, he misses us. I'm telling you guys, even when we are far away from him, spiritually speaking, we are still with him. We just don't realize it at the time because we're doing our own thing. We're moving and we're shaking and we think all is good. But then when we find out it's not as long a trip as we thought it would be to get back where we're supposed to be. It really isn't, you guys. Sin is just, and asking for forgiveness is the 180 degree. That's all it is. It's not like 20 lashes on your back because you did this or this or this. It's not, I repent 100 million times over your lifetime. If you've repented and you ask God to forgive you and you meant it in your heart, God forgave you. So why are you bringing it back up? Because the enemy does? But let me just say something. The enemy brings up your past because he doesn't want you to get to your future.
Amen.
Okay? So the enemy doesn't have a clue what's going to go on. And you in Christ, you can do this.
Amen. Right. That's good. And the Young's literal translation says it this way, and did. So if you've did something, have you already done it?
Yeah.
If you did it, right? I did it, that means you already done it.
Right.
Means you're not going to do it, you already did it. So, and did raise us up together. Notice together, we're with him. And did seat us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a did deal.
Done deal.
No, it's a did deal.
That's awesome.
He did it. Yeah, I thought we'd just make something new. Okay, Colossians 2, 12 through 13 says this. You were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. We're going to stay a little bit here for a little bit. If then you were raised with Christ, which we heard, right? It did. It's a did deal, right?
It's a did deal.
It's a did deal. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, the thing is that Paul had the revelation, the understanding, most of these other things we've read here, Ephesians, Colossians, is Paul communicating that there's a finished work that is already done in us. And it's like what you're saying, that even though we stray, even though we stumble, even though we fall, the finished work is always waiting for us to step into. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, you fall to the place where you have to, like, catch up again. I want people to really get this, because I know people have been away from church for a while, been away from the Lord for a while, and they come back, and they think that they're, you know, it's like I said last week, it's like the game. You go back to go when you're starting over, you know, all of your houses and all of your other properties are taken away, you know, all your get out of jail free cards, and you start fresh again. It's all clean slate. You don't have anything against you, but you don't have, that's not the way God works. Mm-mm. That's not the way God works at all. He takes the years that the locust has eaten and he restores them. That means that if you should have been growing in Christ, he can supernaturally do things in your heart to bring maturity to you. Now, I'm not telling you go slack off and wait 5 years and come back and then, you know, because then you're playing games with God. But if you have been deceived by the enemy of your soul and he's caused you to go off on the beaten path and you've, you know, gone into places that your heart really didn't want to go, but you ended up, when you come back, there's a place waiting. What happened to the prodigal son? I mean, he's a perfect example. The father didn't say, yeah, now go work with the hired hands for a couple of years and go, you know, work in the fields and I'll see if you're working really well. And if I can tell that you're faithful now and you're not going to take my money and go and spend it, you know, on just, you know, living that is just wasteful, then maybe I'll give you a place back in the household and you can come sleep in a room and eventually I'll see if maybe I can redeem you as my son. But no, the father runs in his pig pen muck, embraces him, kisses his pig-filled neck, and he says, no, you're not going to go and sleep with the servants. I want the fatted calf killed. Get me the ring that realizes the authority of the family. Get everything that restores this one who was lost back to his full sonship. In a moment. Now, if that's God's example to us, Christ's example to us of restoration, then it works for you the same way. So I don't want you to be thinking that because you have, maybe even you say, well, I just haven't done much in my Christian walk for the last 20 years. So, you know, I've got to start getting in this process of catching up with everybody. No. Say, Lord, I want you to redeem the years that the enemy has worked in my life. Maybe you haven't gone anywhere. Maybe you've sat in church, but you just haven't fulfilled something, you know, deep in your heart you've been called to. Say, Lord, I want you to restore those years supernaturally. I'm willing to walk in the destiny you have for me today as if I'd never not followed your will 100%. That's like coming back. That's like the prodigal son. God is not a God of time and distance. He's not a God that puts these constraints on us that, well, if you meet this standard, then yes, this comes. That's us, folks. We're the ones who put these stipulations on people for restoration. God says, oh, you're repentant, you're changing your mind, you're changing your ways. Oh, you're restored. That's God. I'm just telling you, that's him. We don't always act like him, though. The church does not always act like him. Christians don't always act like him, unfortunately. So I want to ask for your forgiveness for anybody that's been hurt by someone who had standards put on them that were not the standards God had for you. Because that created a false impression of who God is in your life.
And the enemy has used it to keep you far from God.
Yeah.
He's used it in your life on purpose. And you just have to recognize that. And if it is another person that, you know, you have no connection with any longer, and you just say, you know, Lord, just help me to forgive. Help me to just move on. This is me and you. This is not me and you and brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so back there. Do you know what I'm saying? This is you and God. You guys, this journey is about all of us singly on a personal journey with the Lord together. Does that make sense? Me and Jesus, him and Jesus, you and Jesus, Julia and Jesus, Phyllis and Jesus, and all of us coming together to encourage one another, build one another up, sometimes sharpen one another like iron sharpens iron, but it's a personal relationship that I have with the Lord, and it's a personal one for you. It's corporate only in that we gather together to encourage one another. That's the corporation part of God, is that we're together because we love him. We want to worship him in spirit and in truth. But it's my personal relationship with God. And guys, it's personal. You know, if it's just you and him, and you know there's things that have been hanging out in your life for however many years, you know what? Just make the devil really mad. Not just somewhat mad. Make him really mad and just say, Lord, take that from me. I'm done with it. It's over. It's a done deal. Forget about it. Let's move on.
Amen. Yeah, yesterday I had some things come up and some things were happening in my heart. And I said, this isn't right. You know, it's like I should not be feeling this way. I said, Lord, what is it in me? You know, it's kind of like David saying in Psalm 139, search me, O Lord. See if there's any crooked, perverse way in me. And I could tell this was perverse thinking. And so this morning I was saying, Lord, come on, expose this. Show me the root so we can deal with this, because this is not you. This is not your character. This is not your nature. And so, you know, I've been, repenting for that thinking pattern, but it's more than just a thinking pattern. There's a root in me. There's something that God needs to pull out. There's something that God needs to expose to his light that will basically destroy it and kill it. But now that I've got a handle on it, and this is a tip for all of you. When you sense something, it's out of whack, don't just live with it.
Right.
Don't just keep going, oh, well, you know, that's just me. I've been like this. No, if you're coming at me, you know, the gospel is coming here and it's showing Christ and his nature, and you're going like, yeah, that's not like Jesus, you know. And, you know, maybe it's as much as, you know, as just slamming on the horn at somebody who cut you off, you know. Because they cut you off, and it's like, they shouldn't, you know, and all of a sudden fury or rage comes up, you know, and you see Jesus, I knew that was going to hit a lot of people right in the, because everybody has road rage to a certain degree, especially in Yakima. But anyway, the point being is that if you get in your heart, that's not the nature of Christ. Say, Lord, expose what in me that's causing this,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because folks, we are not just here. We're seated there. There's a connection that we have in Christ that should empower us to live differently here. We don't have to try to do it on our own. I'm telling you right now, there's a supernatural empowerment that's waiting for us, that we don't have to keep struggling and you know, trying to make this happen here on our own. Okay, so let's look at Colossians 3, 1 through 3. From another translation. This is called the mirror. See yourselves. See yourselves co-raised with Christ. That's what I just said. See yourselves. Don't see yourself here that you're just trying to, you know, get along and maybe God will help you, you know, throw you a bone every now and then, you know, that you can nod and maybe get some nourishment. I mean, really, I mean, sometimes we think in a very, very poverty mentality compared to what God, Christ riches, has, you know, he became poor so that we might be fully rich. He emptied himself so we might be full of his glory. I mean, that's the kind of trading that went on here. So see yourself co-raised with Christ. Now ponder with persuasion the consequence of your co-inclusion with him. In other words, consider what it really means to be seated with Christ. Does it mean that you have to put up with the junk in your life that you have? I mean, if you ponder and persuasively think, okay, if I'm really seated with Christ, then that means the authority that Christ has, I'm seated in. I have that authority. Do I have to put up with the toothless lion, like you said, Lisa? I thought of that when you were saying, well, she's getting ahead of us here. Or in sync. No, we don't. We don't have to put up with that. Is this hitting home with anybody? Is anybody dealing with a constant barrage of, you should have done this, or you didn't do this, or, you know, the hurts and the pains of the past constantly coming up and reminding you, you know, I defeated you then and I'll do it again, instead of realizing, wait, I'm co-raised with Christ. What does that mean? What are the consequences of being co-raised with Christ, being included in his resurrection and being seated with him now? See, it's a different way of thinking. Most Christians, their failures are based upon their thought process.
Wow, that's a statement.
It is, though. And if you're thinking that you're just, you know, just a Christian, just saved by grace, just a sinner saved by grace, and that you're just waiting for the glorious ascension when you die, then you're missing the whole point, that you've already been saved and co-included in resurrection. The only thing that hasn't happened is your soul hasn't caught up with what's happened. But in Christ, you're a completed work. So relocate yourselves mentally. I challenge you this week, start relocating yourself mentally. Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm sitting here in my chair in my den, but no, wait a minute. I'm not. I'm seated with Christ. Now, what does that mean? Lord, open my eyes that I might see what it means that I'm co-seated with you, that I'm in heavenly places. Even though maybe my natural mind doesn't understand, Lord, I pray that my heart would get it. I pray that my life would start living out the reality of that. That's what he's talking about. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities. What does it mean to be a king? Because that's what God's made us. I mean, we're kings and priests. You know, I'm not just making things up. This is what it says. You are a kingdom of priests. We're kings and priests. We have rule and reign, not just when we get to heaven, right now. But most of us feel like, well, the only authority I have is, like, you know, just to maybe keep myself from sinning again, you know.
It's all I can do.
It's all I can do. I mean, we have this get by attitude when we should have the, it's, what did I call that? It's a did deal. We need to have a did deal. It's finished. Just think of, go back and read when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Did he just mean that his work on that cross was finished? No, he meant the salvation and restoration of mankind is finished. Mm-hmm. The cross made the way for us to be fully reconciled back to God. But not just reconciled, then also seated with him in a place of authority.
Well, and as we're seated in the place of authority, we can't have the authority or be kings and queens or princes or whatever we are and have that mentality of I'm better than.
Right.
And we do get that.
And we do get that, unfortunately, in the church today.
Especially but I'm as just, we judge others.
Yes, oh, but what I'm here to tell you is this, that all has to do, spiritually speaking, not with you walking around like you're all that and a bag of chips. Because a lot of times when we are, let's just call it what it really is. Here's our life, and we're on an uphill swing with God, and we're all good, and we're doing great, and we're doing great. Oh, no, here it comes. And our posture changes.
Yes.
Our posture changes physically as well as spiritually. Our posture changes from this to this.
Right.
Automatically. Because we're on that downhill slide. And it's like, oh, I can't look at... Can't look at the Lord in the face. Oh, can't look pastor in the face. Oh, no. I can't look at pastor. Oh, I can't go to church this week because pastor will know that I did this, blah, 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 blah. Oh, come on, you guys. What did we just say? It's not about you and God and pastor. It's about you and God. God's not going to tell pastor all your dirty little secrets unless God wants him to know for a particular reason as a confirmation in your life. But it's not like he has x-ray vision and can look in there and see all the things that you did this week. That's not what it's about at all.
That's for sure. I mean, maybe some can.
But let me just say, you guys, that the attitude of being co-raised in Christ has everything to do with, I don't have to live this way anymore.
Exactly.
I don't have to go back there anymore.
And there should be no better, I'm better than you attitude. If anything,
yeah.
Being co-raised means we're co-raised also into his humility.
His humility, lack of pride. I mean, there's so many different things. But let me just say, guys, if you don't know how to do it, just ask. He'll tell you.
Yeah. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities where you are co-seated with Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. You're in that executive authority of God's right hand. Oops, sorry, we did something here. Sorry. Here we go. Are you hearing okay, hon? It's good? Am I talking okay? All right, good. I just wanted to make sure. Yes, Lisa, absolutely.
I was just going to say, at times when I was... hadn't been saved very long, and I didn't know the Bible very well, and my mind, the enemy was just wreaking havoc in my mind, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know a lot of scripture to combat what he said. But one thing I did know was that worship changed the tide.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't quote John 3:16 to save my life. I wouldn't, you know, but I did know he's a good, good father.
Right.
I surrender all.
Yeah.
Those things I knew. And so when I started singing those things, even when I didn't feel it,
yeah,
you know, because we always wait.
That's when you need to sing it the most.
And so I would just start to hum it, and then I would start to sing it. And then pretty soon the tide would change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then as I learned scripture, you know, then of course, you know, I was able to quote scripture. But just knowing the words of a few songs, mm-hmm. biblical songs, even if I could only sing one line, and I sang it over and over again, pretty soon... the tide would change.
Your heart would connect with it.
Yeah, because the devil couldn't stand in that presence.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When we connect with the Father, he can. Mm-hmm. He's gone. So, I mean, that might help somebody. You know, that mm-hmm. may not know the scripture.
Well, I remember when I was going through my divorce and my husband had left and I was left with two kids. I was working a full-time job. I was so overwhelmed with the pain of life. It wasn't just life. There was pain in that life. And I remember saying something to my pastor at the time saying, I can't read the Bible. I have the hardest time listening at church because I'm just so angry and hurt. All I can do is sing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I did. And when I sang, and when I was obedient to sing, even when I didn't feel like it, that's when the Lord began to move in me. And then I could start reading the word. Then I could start opening my ears. I could start doing those things. But you guys, I'm just going to tell you, maybe for some, it's not worship, singing out loud. Maybe it is just reading your word, or maybe it is just listening to pastor preach one time at Sunday, you know, on a Sunday. Whatever it is that, you know, floats your boat, do it. Do it until you recognize that your healing is happening in your heart and in your spirit. And then move forward in that. Don't sit in it. Move forward in it. Because God is a God of growth. God is a God of a continual motion. And he wants to take us from glory to glory to glory. Not just sit back on this glory that happened 25 years ago. He wants more glory in your life. So let's move it on, you know?
Amen. Okay, see if we can get close to wrapping this up. Become affectionately acquainted. No, it's good. Become affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts. Becoming affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts will keep you from being distracted again by the earthly soul-ruled realm. Your union with his death broke the association with that world. See yourselves located in a fortress where your life is hidden with Christ in God.
That's good.
That you're not, you know, just some individual out there and just constantly taking only barrages from the enemy, but that your life is hidden in Christ. But the only way your life is hidden in Christ, if you are keeping your life hidden in Christ. And how do you do that? By keeping yourself in the thoughts and heart of God. Because if you don't, then the world will just have its way with you. Because, listen, there's not much positive stuff out there.
Not anymore.
I mean, anybody listen to the news? Any real positive news anymore? I mean, if there's a positive news out there, they don't even broadcast it anymore. That's how negative it's getting. Well, I'm sure workplaces are like that now, you know. If you have coworkers you talk with, I'm sure you're probably hearing lots of negative stuff all the time. So if you stay in that zone, guess where you will be?
In that zone.
In that zone. But you need to purposefully remind yourself, no. I'm here, but I'm not just here. I'm in another place. I'm co-seated with Christ. Vicki?
This may sound bad. I have some opinionated people in my life. But when my husband was deployed, I remember telling you guys that I shut off all the news in my house. It didn't get played on in my house. Didn't get the newspaper because my children needed to be protected. They needed a comfort zone. Well, fortunately, that has continued to be in my house. Tim will listen to news. It drives me bananas. But in our house, I don't turn the news stations on. I go to work, and I have it going in the rooms I go in to clean and take care of people. They've got CNN on one side, and the other one has
Fox
got
News.
Fox on the other, and then the other one's got, you know. And it is like, okay, so I'm bombarded at work, so when I go home, I have my same quiet place.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
And that's good.
And I had to start that to protect my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in high school, they have to take the, you know, the current events classes, and they had to deal with stuff. We had people in the church themselves that were, you know, not copacetic about, you know, things with my kids and their dad being deployed. So it was like, that was the one buffer zone. So for me, that's what I do in my home. So when I go to work, I'm not all worked up already. I can be a source of peace.
That's good. Yes, I mean, maybe some of us need to make full adjustments and changes. I have a testimony, but we don't have time for it right now. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you guys have to get this. God did not appoint us to wrath. Wrath is not what God appointed us to. He wanted us to obtain salvation that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Mm-hmm. Now get that. Whether we wake, that means living. That's what he's talking about. Or whether we're asleep, that we should be living together with him. So there's even a life that we're to live, even at this moment, this time, you know, this lot in heaven, this supernatural life, where we're to live even now. Dual occupancy. Now here's another way of putting it. Who died for us, of 10, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's saying we can at the same time be alive together with him. Now, I know this is stretching us, but you got to get this. You got to get the idea that you are not just a single individual down here just trying to make it on your own, but that you're somehow connected in a supernatural way and seated in a supernatural way in the heavenlies. And so when Jesus told Nicodemus, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven, he was prophesying what would be going on in our lives if we can receive that truth.
Yes.
It's not just Jesus who was here and seated in heaven at the same time. It's us. Amen?
Amen.
Father, right now we just come before your throne of grace, Lord. And Lord, it says that we can come boldly before that throne and obtain mercy and help in time of need. And Lord, even though some of us may not feel a desperate need right now, Lord, I know we all have needs in our lives. Maybe some are hidden, some are on the forefront. But Lord, we ask, God, that this need, Lord, of being co-seated with you, being a reality in our lives, Lord, would take. Lord, that we would get the idea that it's a did deal, that you did it, that it's finished, Lord. And that our thoughts will not just be remaining here on this earth. Our focus will not just be remaining here in this natural realm, Lord, but that we would turn our attentions, as Colossians says, to a higher place, Lord. That's into your throne room. That's into your presence, Lord. And what is the consequence, Lord, of being co-seated with you in that place of authority? What changes could come to our lives, Lord, because of that dynamic that's going on in each and every one of us? And Lord, I know that some may be struggling, Lord, with the feelings, Lord, of inadequacy and not qualified. Lord, I pray that you would break those lies off of their lives today. Lord, that they would realize, Lord, that they're accepted and loved in the Beloved, that you love them with an everlasting love. Lord, that you're for them, you're not against them. And Lord, that they can be right now fully in your will, where you would have them be today. And we thank you, God, that you're a God of restoration, you're a God of forgiveness, and you're a God of redemption, Lord. And you've redeemed the years, you've restored those years that the locust has eaten in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, God bless you all. Thank you.